Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Brian Lehrer, and this is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Wednesday, May 20th. As many workers, students, and even some healthcare professionals have begun working remotely these last few months, technology has been making the once inconceivable possible. But a controversy is brewing about after the pandemic emergency subsides. Here's Governor Andrew Cuomo at a press conference on May 6th, waxing gee whiz about a high-tech future.
On a larger scale, how do we really use new technology in the economy of tomorrow? And that's the lesson that we're all learning, right? Work from home, telemedicine, teleeducation. It's all about technology and a better use of technology and really incorporating the lessons into that.
So the pandemic has presented itself as an opportunity for big tech to integrate more completely into Americans' lives. Could the temporary work from home measures become permanent? How about the schooling from home measures? And is this good or bad for humanity? Well, joining me now is Naomi Klein, senior correspondent for The Intercept, author of many very influential books, including The Shock Doctrine and On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal. She's the Gloria Steinem Endowed Chair in Media, Culture, and Feminist Studies at Rutgers and co-founder of The Leap, a climate justice organization. Hi, Naomi. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Great to be with you. And I think maybe the sound that you hear out the window is New York parents screaming at the prospect that they have to continue homeschooling indefinitely into the future as part of a grand experiment.
Right. So there's that sound of New York parents and every parent screaming at that prospect. But your critique also brings it to the teachers in that equation, because you're right on The Intercept. If Governor Cuomo with his billionaire tech giant CEO partners get their way, there'll be fewer teachers, there'll be fewer doctors, there'll be fewer drivers, and more of what you call the anonymous workers tucked away in warehouses, data centers, content moderation mills, electronic sweatshops, and the like. So you want to start with the education piece of that? I know you're worried about Bill Gates, who in many ways has a very good reputation with the Gates Foundation and his interest in public health, but I think you're concerned about Governor Cuomo linking arms with him.
Yeah, and Bill Gates has a distinctly less good reputation when it comes to his foundation's interventions in education, which by the foundation's own assessments and admissions have really a very poor track record. And yet he is being given a great deal of power to, quote, reimagine New York's education system. The day after that announcement came the announcement that Eric Schmidt, a former CEO of Google, he continues to be a Google advisor, holds billions in Google shares, is going to head this blue ribbon commission about reopening the state that's going to be looking at education and telehealth, working
from home.
And
let me jump in for one second, because we have that clip too. So here's just 11 seconds of Governor Cuomo. Oh, no, this is Eric Schmidt himself after being introduced by Governor Cuomo.
The first priorities of what we're trying to do are focus on telehealth, remote learning, and broadband. We can take this terrible disaster and accelerate all of those in ways that will make things much, much better.
Well, those sound like good things. Telehealth, remote learning, where appropriate, and widely available broadband. And he frames it right there as an opportunity to, his words in that clip, accelerate those in a way.
Yeah, and in other contexts, including op-eds and other video conferences he's given over the past couple of weeks, he's talked about what is going on now as a grand experiment in remote learning, We didn't, as parents, most of us didn't realize we were engaged in a grand experiment. We just thought we were trying to get through this. And if it is an experiment, it would be good to know that they were interviewing the subjects of this experiment and finding out how it's going before they declare it a victory in need of locking in long into the future. Now, Brian, you and I have talked over the years about a phenomenon that I call the shock doctrine. I wrote a book about that 15 years ago, about how in moments of shock and moments of crisis, we often see a kind of ramming through of a pre-existing corporate wish list. I first started writing about this after Hurricane Katrina, which is one of the case studies I looked at. When the city was still partially underwater, there was a push not to reopen the public schools, but to give parents vouchers that they could use in private schools to reopen the public schools as charters. And in fact, New Orleans became a laboratory for the charter experiment. It's the most privatized school system in the country. So I point this out, right, because I think in that case it was very clear that, you had a city under complete evacuation. The parents and teachers were literally not there to protect their public education system. It's not a secret that there's money to be made in public schools if it's all outsourced to tech companies or charter companies. And I think something very similar is happening now where, you know, if you propose the idea of radically accelerating remote learning under normal times, there would be a great deal of debate in the New York legislature. There would be all kinds of parents' meetings. There would be huge concerns around kids with special needs, about kids who don't have access to these technologies. And yet the response to these very radical proposals has been pretty muted, because we are in such extraordinary times. And I, you know, what I argue in the Intercept piece is that our state of emergency, the fact that we all have our hands full, including homeschooling our kids, those of us who have kids, means that we have less capacity, we can't meet in person, to really engage in a democratic process. And in fact, what's happening in New York State is a great deal of the decision-making is being outsourced to a handful of billionaires. So it's not to say that there isn't a role for remote learning. It isn't to say that there are not very real issues around reopening the schools before there is a vaccine. But we should have a full-throated public debate that looks at various options, including smaller classrooms and hiring more teachers, including having shifts, which is what's happening in some European countries. So you have one group going in the morning, one group going in the afternoon, including having more outdoor education. Let's look at all the options before we just say, let's just teach our kids on Zoom and Google Classroom forever, as designed by some people with very heavy vested interests in these companies.
My guest is Naomi Klein, who you know from her best-selling and very influential books like The Shock Doctrine and On Fire, The Burning Case for a Green New Deal. She's talking now about her article on The Intercept about what she calls a screen new deal, ha ha ha, with the tech giants using the opportunity of the pandemic to take some advantage for themselves, as she sees it, in sort of a pandemic shock doctrine moment, as Naomi was just describing. I'd say for people who don't know your work that your main two concerns are democracy and inequality. So how are you concerned that people like Governor Cuomo, who's been seen as a hero to many in New York, you know that, despite particular policy differences on rent and other things, that him linking arms with Eric Schmidt and Bill Gates in these ways will be bad for democracy?
Well, I mean, let's just sort of zoom out here, right? New York State Legislature has barely met in the past 2 months. We are physically unable to come together in public forums to have debates. And there was no consultation about whether or not the school system should be reimagined by this particular group of billionaires. So, that's the democratic piece of it. One of the things I do in the Intercept piece is look at what Eric Schmidt has been saying over the past couple of years in his role of as chair of two influential advisory bodies, the Defense Innovation Board, which advises the Defense Department, and the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence. He's chair of both of those boards, and the National Security Commission on AI advises Congress on increased use of AI in health, in education, in transportation, so-called smart cities. And thanks to some Freedom of Information requests, we have access to the presentations that these are that Schmidt's or Schmidt and that commission has been making to Congress over the past year in particular. And what you see is that all the things that they're now asking for and pushing in the midst of the pandemic, they were pushing for before with no mention of a pandemic, just because they were worried about losing an AI arms race to China. And so we're seeing a very rapid kind of rebranding of all of these technologies that Americans, New Yorkers in particular, have really pushed back on. I mean, New York told Amazon to get lost not so long ago, right? Because of concerns about the practices of this company, the way it treats warehouse workers, collaborations with ICE. I mean, all of these issues came up and you covered it extensively on your show. But what's happening now is that these concerns that we have with these tech companies are being swept out of the way under cover of emergency, and we're seeing this rebranding of technologies that have had trouble getting through. Google, through its Sidewalks Lab division, has been pushing this thing called smart cities, which are very popular, or not, I don't know if they're popular with the public because it's not a democracy, but in China, you have these smart cities where you have sensors on lampposts that not only are using video, but facial recognition and audio recordings, and they're using it for traffic flows and so on. When Alphabet, Google's parent company, has tried to roll this out, they chose Toronto as their prototype for Sidewalk Labs. People pushed back on that too, and that project was just canceled. So what we're seeing is that all of these technologies, including facial recognition, including driverless vehicles, drone delivery, they're under a very rapid rebranding campaign. So pre-corona, this was being pushed as seamless, convenient, frictionless technology. No mention of health. Now it's all being rebranded as no-touch technology, right? So remote learning is no touch for your kids. Telehealth is, you know, no touch. You don't have to go into the doctor's office and worry about what you're going to catch there. And concerns about patient privacy and what happens with that data are just being swept aside. And so I think it's interesting to look at what Schmidt was saying just a few months ago and what the wish list that's being delivered right now.
Interesting. So to wrap up, and we've just got about 30 seconds left, I see you'll be at a virtual event on May 28th, the title of which kind of sums up what you were just saying. It's called Surveillance Capitalism Meets the Coronavirus Shock Doctrine. You want to tell us briefly what that's going to be and how people can participate or watch you?
Sure, yeah. We're putting it on at The Intercept, so you can just go to The Intercept's website. And it's an event where I'll be in conversation with Shoshana Zuboff, the Harvard professor who wrote The Age of Surveillance Capitalism, recommended as the number one book by Barack Obama last year. And we will be talking to our colleague Mehdi Hasan at The Intercept about all of these issues and really unpacking it, because it really affects everything. And there's definitely a role for technology, but the question is technology going to be disciplined by democracy and by public participation, or is this kind of black mirror future just going to be rolled out while we're looking away?
And so I see that's May 28th. I've lost track of the calendar. Is that next Thursday, next Friday?
We've all lost track of the calendar, but it is next Thursday. It's at 4 p.m., and you can go to The Intercept website for the details.
At theintercept.com. Naomi Klein, thank you so much. Always good to talk to you.
You too. Bye, Brian.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is obviously also a Daily Coronavirus podcast under the circumstances in our country right now. We'll keep staying on top of things to serve you the best we can. And remember, this podcast is excerpted from my live weekday call-in show, The Brian Lehrer Show. If you want to be a caller or just hear it live, it's from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on WNYC Radio in New York or online at WNYC.org. You can also tweet a question at us anytime. Just tweet at Brian Lehrer. Thanks for listening today.